Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, if you are a YouTube user, make sure you enable notifications so they let you know every time we have a new episode go live. While you're at it, if you are sick and tired of spending $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create a wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like our buddies Harold in St. Louis and Mike in Lansdale, then go to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Sign up today. Don't forget, we have loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor can co-host an episode of Going Live with me, and our $7.50 a month contributors can be entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of one of our live shows. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be taking your questions, your comments, anything you want to touch on throughout today's episode. Make sure if you are streaming this live somewhere that you use the chat function and give us your questions, comments, and your name right away so we can get your thoughts right into the show tonight. If you want to give us some feedback for a future episode, you got a question that's just burning inside, you want to know the answer to, or you want us to investigate, go to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, your comments, all the things you want us to cover. Again, make sure you give us your name so we can give you credit for your questions, and we'll try to get to as many as we can in a future episode. Don't forget, if you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, you're just tuning in for the first time, or if you're a longtime Fro Wrestling Podcast veteran, always go to FroWrestling.com and preview the topics coming to the next episode so you know exactly what you want to talk about with us when you chat with us live during one of our shows or when you call into the Sound Off line. Tonight we got lots of things to get to, lots of things to talk about. Make sure also, new issue of the In Fro's Corner blog I put up tonight. It is my new Book It edition, WrestleMania 35. I'm giving you my way of booking WrestleMania. Check that out at Infro's Corner by going to FroWrestling.com. Click the tab at the top of the page. And if you want to check out some local independent wrestling coming to your area, go to the Indie Events tab at the top of FroWrestling.com. Click there. There are promotional posters for a plethora of wrestling companies all over the country. Check out some independent wrestling. Support independent wrestling. Independent wrestling is actually the lifeblood of all of pro wrestling because that's where WWE and all the big companies get their talent from. So you got to support these guys. So check that out. Tonight, we're focusing on a few big stories, and then we've got all the other news and tidbits from the day. Roman Reigns' return to Raw has been feeding up all of the message boards, and let's face it, Roman Reigns returning to Raw on the surface is not that big of a deal. We expected at some point we would get some kind of update as to how he's doing, how he's recovering from the leukemia. We know that it was in remission in the past. It came back. He's on medication, and you know that because of the status he had with WWE and the total difference in his life between when he had it before and when he has it now, He's clearly receiving the best of the best of the best medical care there is to offer. However, he has this guy, one of several people, but this one guy in particular he's been working out with while he was in Hawaii. And this guy may have spilled the beans a little, saying that something to the effect of Roman Reigns has been in Hawaii training for his return to the ring. And that's a very different message than what we've heard to this point. Everything's been, there's no timetable on when he's coming back. We don't know when he's going to be ready. And now this guy makes it sound like he's totally ready to come back. And then he put out another message on Twitter saying, trying to clarify a bit, do some damage control, because I'm sure he doesn't want to ruin Roman's big return if it is happening, saying, oh no, he's still a ways away. I was just being optimistic, sort of. So interesting situation there. Obviously, ahead of WrestleMania, even if Roman was ready to go, I think it would be a terrible idea to bring him back before WrestleMania. Give Seth Rollins the opportunity to shine in the spotlight that he has right now. He is clearly the guy to take down the Beast, and everybody, I think, knows that. And unlike a lot of WWE storylines where you know going in that there's probably a good likelihood that a certain person is going to walk away with a win or a victory, that's not the case here. They have, in the past, because of the drawing power of Brock Lesnar that Vince seems to believe is so authentic, they have thrown us a swerve ball here and there, like last year when we all expected Roman Reigns to walk out of Mania as the Universal Champion, and then they flipped the script and kept the belt on Brock Lesnar. They could easily do the same thing again here and keep it on him so that Roman Reigns could dethrone him if he is indeed coming back. I think that would be a bad move. I think the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns thing has been done to death. It's time for somebody new to take down Brock Lesnar. And that's where Seth Rollins is the perfect fit. And let's be honest, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins are the two guys who have really carried WWE for the last year or so, maybe longer. And Seth Rollins has earned this opportunity. I get it. He's been champion before, but it wasn't the same. Before, it felt cheap because they kept using schmoz endings and the authority figures backing him and all that kind of stuff to really try to get his reign over as being a legitimate world champion. This is different. He was a tag team champion at the start of 2018. He eventually became Intercontinental Champion. He had different partners, whether it was Jason Jordan or Dean Ambrose. He had different feuds that were very intriguing throughout the year. He really brought some legitimacy back to the Intercontinental Championship. I love that he actually put Dolph Ziggler over, losing the title to Dolph Ziggler for a while, and things of that nature. So to me, Seth Rollins has done everything that a classy, talented, and valuable wrestler can do for a company in the last year. People often forget, Stone Cold Steve Austin, for everything he did for WWE, was never afraid to put somebody over, with the exception maybe of the Brock Lesnar thing. I know, you know, when he walked out because they wanted him to job to Brock Lesnar with no promotion, that's a separate issue. He left because there was no promotion. But when it comes to this situation, Stone Cold Steve Austin would lay down for anybody he was told to lay down to if it made business sense. Bret Hart, he was somebody who was less likely to lay down for somebody, but even he took all his losses. Triple H has taken tons of losses. John Cena, Randy Orton, The Rock, all of them took many, many losses to their record. And so Brock Lesnar has taken very few. Roman Reigns has taken very few. Seth Rollins in the last year took many. And I think that it almost, in a way, likens him to that throwback to the real superstar wrestlers back during the Attitude Era, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, the people like that, Kurt Angles, who were willing to take a fall every now and again, but knew that the overriding storyline of their career, the arc of their career, was going to be one that they were always willing to do the best thing for business. Not to use that catchphrase, what's best for business, but it really is best for business for him to handle his career the way he has, and to be such a great supporter of other talents getting their opportunity to shine as well. And for that reason, if nothing else, I think he absolutely deserves a run with the Universal title. And just because Roman Reigns comes back does not mean he has to get thrust right back into the championship picture. If he's ready to come back, maybe he goes heel. Maybe, can you imagine the organic heel heat that Roman Reigns would get if he came back after the emotional exit for leukemia, comes back and goes heel to go after Seth Rollins? Or what if they spin it the other way? And I hate to say Seth Rollins going heel again, but what if Seth Rollins gets upset because he's the champion and Roman Reigns is getting all the adoration because he's coming back from leukemia and that leads to a feud? I hate seeing that as an angle as well. I don't see how you bring Roman Reigns back and not put him into the Universal title picture. What you might want to do to make it a little more, a little better booking would maybe be to move one of them to SmackDown during the brand extension or whatever you want to call it this year, draft or superstar shakeup or whatever you want to call it this year, move one of the two over to SmackDown, and that way they don't have to compete, because I really don't want to see that. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns should not be in the ring in all of 2019. If you do that, I feel like you took one step forward to take two steps backwards. It's just not a great way to book your brand. This week, it's been a big week for WWE releases. Some were expected, some were not. We know that Hideo Itami had requested his release. It was granted this week, even though he said goodbye like a month ago. We also know that Arn Anderson, a huge name for WWE since pretty much when WCW folded, he's been an agent and he's helped orchestrate some of the biggest careers in WWE. He's also gone. Apparently, there was a huge issue between he and Vince McMahon at a house show, and there's been other times where that's happened. Look, Arn Anderson is one of the most respected people in the entire professional wrestling world. If Vince McMahon has a problem with him, it is probably because something that Arn Anderson said was true, authentic, and he was trying to make a point to Vince, and Vince doesn't like people to correct him. He thinks he knows how to pull the wool over everybody's eyes better than anybody, and that's not always the case. And rumor has it that it has to do with the way a certain angle was being booked, and nobody gave any clear explanation about what the exact issue was, but apparently there are a lot of people who are on Arn Anderson's side, people like Triple H, John Cena potentially. They're saying that Arn Anderson was the agent for John Cena. He was the guy who always helped set up John Cena's matches. I wonder how John Cena is going to feel about this. And then there are other people who are on Vince's side. It's his company. You know, if he says to do something a certain way, even if it's the wrong way, you do it because he said so. And I can see merit on both sides. The thing for me, though, is that when Vince McMahon seems to be getting his hands on things lately, they have not been successful. Arn Anderson, if he really is the one who has orchestrated a lot of Triple H and John Cena and Seth Rollins and people like that's success, then maybe you ought to listen to what he has to say, because he may have a better pulse on what the wrestling world wants than Vince McMahon does. And I know that's tough for McMahon to admit, but that's sad to see that situation. We know that Ty Dillinger also had requested his release. He kind of jumped the gun a little bit and put a whole blurb out on Twitter and Instagram about, you know, how he had asked for his release. And you notice when he was let go, WWE did not give him the whole, like, good luck on your future endeavors quote that they usually give everybody, which tells me this was, despite it being somewhat amicable, I think because he put that out there before they actually released him, that probably raised the ire of WWE, and that's probably shut the door for him for at least for the foreseeable future. Now, Cody Rhodes and Young Bucks may be sitting there waiting for him to arrive. Cody's been very positive about Ty after this release, and you can expect that he probably would show up in All Elite Wrestling, and he'd be a great addition, because one of the things All Elite has wanted to do is they've wanted to showcase talent that not everybody's familiar with, because it makes it feel more unique and different and fresh. And I think that's a very good thing with Ty Dillinger. Yes, he's been exposed a little bit on WWE television, but nowhere near the level that's necessary for his talent level. The other big release of the week, the one that was kind of the shocker, was TJ Perkins, who really has done nothing since December. His last match on television was in December on 205 Live, a losing effort. He's done nothing of substance for the better part of a year and a half. If you remember, he was the guy who won the original Cruiserweight Classic, was the first Cruiserweight champion when they reintroduced the championship, and he held the title for a short period of time before he lost it back to Brian Kendrick, and it became nothing. He's done nothing, and it's not for lack of his effort, but the word going around is that he had put out some tweets about how the angle with Ricochet that took place on Raw when they debuted Ricochet was something that he had written, that he had produced for his own character for another purpose, and that somebody stole his ideas and put them to use for Ricochet. Now, maybe he was trying to help out in the back. Maybe he's been picking up some of the producer role type things in the back when he's not on television. If that's the case, it's fine, but you kind of put your employer out on blast by putting it out that way. And then, you know, later conversations emerged that he was difficult to handle in the back, whether it was the creative team, the agents, the other talent. He became somewhat of a cancer in the locker room. So maybe it's good to see him go. Maybe he did that on purpose just so he could try to get in with All Elite Wrestling, because let's face it, a lot of the talent on the All Elite roster are significantly smaller wrestlers. And I think that if you put a guy the size of Braun Strowman against a guy the size of Finn Balor, yeah, it works for WWE, but it doesn't really work outside the WWE umbrella very easily. Somebody like TJP would fit perfectly with someone like Hangman Page or with Pac or somebody like that. So I think letting him go was done for a specific reason. Now, if he can get his head straight and be a productive member of a locker room, maybe he would be a good addition for All Elite Wrestling, as would Arn Anderson. That's something else that's being floated around is, will Arn Anderson go to All Elite Wrestling to be an agent since he's so good at it and help them really kickstart the promotion? Or is this one of those things where Arn really loves the business, then he and Vince will take some time apart, reflect a little bit, cooler heads will prevail, and then they'll come back together? In the interim, WWE clearly is in a little bit of a panic mode, so to speak. They brought Bruce Pritchard, the guy who used to portray the character of Brother Love, who also held one of the highest creative positions with WWE back in the 90s during the Attitude Era and whatnot. They've brought him back to the company in a major creative role, reporting directly to Vince McMahon. And the thought process on this is that, you know, Bruce Pritchard kind of has an old school feel about wrestling, but he's not as outdated as Vince McMahon. And that he still has somewhat of a good idea as to what the wrestling world wants to see. He's been doing his podcast, Something to Wrestle With, and things of that nature. We don't know if he's going to continue doing those or not. I know there's some discord there because there's, you know, StarCast 2 is run through that channel, not All Elite Wrestling. They're actually not linked at all. It just looks like they are. So I know there was some concerns over that. There was talk about bringing more episodes of the podcast to the WWE Network. Now that's hanging in the balance. But this is going to be a full-time position, and he could only be an assistant that would really help WWE's product right now. As many of you know, the booking in WWE has been atrocious lately. There has been nothing of importance in a very long time. The Daniel Bryan stuff, you can't convince me that some writer thought that up. That's more Daniel Bryan, you know, coming up with something for himself. And that's been reported by multiple locations that Daniel Bryan is very much involved with the creation of this character that he's portraying. So I don't credit WWE with all that. So outside of the Daniel Bryan character, there's really not much that they've done creatively that's been exciting. Maybe on the women's side of things, and let's be honest, the women's division, Becky Lynch's rise to power, has nothing to do with WWE. It has to do with her getting over with the crowd organically. And usually when that happens, WWE squashes it. And I feel like that's what they were trying to do when they added Charlotte to the women's championship match at Mania. They're trying to squash Becky Lynch and then hype up Charlotte Flair. That doesn't always work. And that's not what fans want to see. They like Becky Lynch because she's different. She's got that, you know, stone cold aura about her, that I'm going to go against the boss attitude about her. You know, Braun Strowman for a good year was doing the same thing, getting over organically, and Vince just refused to pull the trigger on making Braun Strowman a world champion. And I feel like it backfired, because right now, who's important on Raw other than Seth Rollins? Pretty much no one. Maybe Finn Balor if they book him correctly going forward, but there's really not a lot. For those who tune in to my Infro's Corner articles that I put up, the one that I put up today about booking WrestleMania 35 speaks to this issue of WWE's poor booking. Hopefully Bruce Pritchard can bring some clarity to their booking and help them come up with some more innovative storylines. But I don't have confidence yet, because Vince is still the final decision maker. And as long as he's out of touch, it's just not going to work. So we'll have to see how these things change, but hopefully the product gets better. I just want to stop for a moment and give a shout out to John the Sports Guy. I see John tuning in from Fort Stockton, Texas. Thank you, John, for tuning in. One of my absolute favorite and most loyal listeners. Always on with me when I do live shows. It's always great to see John. John used to hang out with me at the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance shows, and he moved down to Texas, but one of those shows was last night. Anybody who's listening, if you went to the show, my understanding is it was a very good show. I could not make it, but definitely check out those independent shows. Moving on, a major match has been booked for the New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Super Show, and it's a match I have so wanted to see for so long. The Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, the Briscoe Brothers, are going to defend their championship in a champion versus champion, title for title match against the IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Guerrillas of Destiny. And that is as good a tag team match as you can possibly ask for in 2019. Two legitimate tag teams. Almost the only thing that can make this match better is if it was a three-way dance and you threw in the Usos. That's how similar these teams' styles, their personas, their attitude, the way they approach the business. That's kind of the feel you get from this match. And to me, This match is as important as any match that'll be at that Super Show. I really don't know what to expect from the match. I can't see either company giving their tag team championship to a rival promotion, even if they do co-promote. But I think that is going to be incredibly physical. It's going to be a lights out, drag out fight. And I cannot wait to see it. That is the first match that's been announced for the G1 Super Show that I am truly looking forward to, and should be awesome. Speaking of Vince McMahon, I know I got away from him for a moment, but apparently he and Triple H are at odds right now. That's the word going around. Last week on Raw, when they debuted all these talents, right, from NXT, it was so rushed. You know, we go back to like October, November, we started seeing promos about these new people coming from NXT. We were looking at Lars Sullivan and Lacey Evans and EC3 and Heavy Machinery and like all these guys that were coming to the main roster. And then it seemed like it was months of the same ridiculous promos and they never showed up. And then when they finally did show up, it was so anticlimactic. It was almost a waste of time. And now we get the opposite. Vince McMahon looks at the numbers. He's not happy with the attendance figures. He throws us Aleister Black, Ricochet. He throws us, you know, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, who don't belong on Raw right now when they've got their own thing going on in NXT. And we just are supposed to look at this and be like, oh, yay. Now, I will give you this. Raw drew big numbers when these four guys debuted, and that's great for Raw. It tells you that those four guys are something the fans want to see. The problem is, think about the ratings boost if people knew they were going to be there. At this point, all four of those guys are expected to appear on Raw on...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
SmackDown on NXT and maybe even NXT UK. And the problem is that Vince McMahon decided this on his own without even consulting with Triple H. Apparently, he asked someone who was not Triple H who were the four best guys in NXT. And someone gave him those four names. And he said, okay, we're calling them up. And Vince didn't make Triple H aware of it until Monday. They had to rewrite the show and change things around, make match adjustments. And apparently Triple H was fighting vehemently to change some of Vince's thought process. And the only match he got changed was the arrival of Ricochet. So the original plan was to have Ricochet go against Finn Balor for the Intercontinental title and have Finn Balor retain. And how horrible would it be to bring a talent like Ricochet to the main roster only to defeat him in his first match? It's almost like when they did the same thing to Sami Zayn coming up to face John Cena and then he blew out his shoulder. But, you know the guy can't win. I don't like that. Then Triple H apparently is the one who championed the cause to get that switch to a tag team match and have them both go over and both win. That way they both stay strong. But it's a weird scenario to think of Vince and Triple H being at odds. You know, Triple H, whether Vince wants to admit it or not, and I guarantee you he doesn't want to admit it, but Vince McMahon has to, at his core, think about what Triple H has brought to this company in the last 10 years or so. The creation of NXT, the arrival of some of the talents that Triple H has reached out to, the people who've been inducted into the Hall of Fame, many of the booking decisions, the women's revolution, a lot of it. I know the women love to take credit for it, but let's face it, a lot of that wouldn't happen without the support of Triple H. There's nothing cooler if you have the WWE Network. Tune into Proving Grounds, those series they shot with NXT, and see the look on the faces of people like Sasha Banks and Bayley when they were told they were going to be the first women to headline a pay-per-view, and it was for NXT TakeOver during SummerSlam weekend a few years back. Like, that was authentic, and that was a lot of that was Triple H's decision. And that's something that you can't take away from the guy. So I feel like Triple H has a much better pulse on what people want in the wrestling world, and I feel like Vince McMahon is becoming more and more detached from what is really going to work. Now, the upside is apparently Vince McMahon has a real problem with the attendance numbers being down. So he is trying to boost attendance numbers. But as far as the company is concerned, he's apparently very happy. They're making more money than they've ever made before. Their profitability is skyrocket. Their stock price is skyrocket. He's as rich as he's ever been. But at the end of the day, you still have to wonder, you know, how does this play out over the next several months? I mean, Arn Anderson had a quabble with Vince several times, and now he's gone. Triple H isn't as easy to get rid of as Arn Anderson. You know, he's married into the family. And let's be honest, we all know that he's about as creative and should be attributed with a lot of the credit for WWE's success in the last couple of years. He really is a huge influence on the industry. So be curious to see where that goes heading out of that situation. Vince McMahon in the news a lot this week because he's also irritated apparently with The Undertaker. Apparently he's under the impression that StarCast 2 is an All Elite Wrestling event, even though it is not. And the issue is that he thinks that The Undertaker appearing at StarCast is appearing for AEW, which it's not. You know, The Undertaker has made signing appearances all over the place in the past, but apparently this one Vince McMahon was very upset about. And the truth of the matter is this: if you have The Undertaker and you want to keep his support or his loyalty, pay the man and put him in the ring. If you're not going to do that, you can't complain. The guy's charging, The Undertaker's charging $25,000 per signing appearance for these WrestleCons and things of that nature. And if he's going to be doing that, you know, WWE, they're going to have very little control over what he does if they're not going to use him. Now, I'm sure The Undertaker in some way, shape, or form is going to be affiliated with WWE forever. You know, his contract is not null and void. He has a contract with WWE, but they're not using him right now. Anybody who looked up the article that I posted this week, the one that I keep referring to, the Book It article about WrestleMania 35, I think there has never been a better opportunity to pass the torch for The Undertaker. This year, he should be in the ring with Aleister Black. It should be a straight-up passing of the torch. He should do the honors, give the rub to Aleister Black. They have such a similar character, but still uniquely different, and it would be one for the ages, but we don't see that in the planning. At least no one has mentioned anything about The Undertaker at Mania this year. And wrestling fans thinking of a WrestleMania without The Undertaker, without some kind of formal send-off and retirement, that's not cool. A couple years ago, when he did the whole, like, lay the hat down, lay the, you know, the gloves down, put the trench coat down, we thought that was the end, and that would have been okay. But instead, he came back and wrestled again. And once he did that, that kind of shot that horse in the foot. And now we need some other send-off to make this thing official. If he just never shows up again and that tag team match at Crown Jewel is the last memory we have of The Undertaker in the ring, that's sad. And, I mean, utterly depressing, because he's worth more than that, you know. So have to wait and see. But definitely Vince McMahon, very much not happy that The Undertaker is appearing at StarCast. In the news this week, earlier in the week, was the conversation about the Young Bucks WWE offer. Apparently, the whole deal was predicated on an invasion angle. The Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, all of them coming to WWE and doing a major angle where they would invade the brand. And I think that would have gone over incredibly well. The issue is they already felt passionately about All Elite Wrestling. Now, the Bucks were very clear. They actually thought they were going to end up in WWE at one point. They really did. They knew the All Elite thing was there, but the amount of money that was being offered, apparently seven figures for all of the being the Elite characters, and they couldn't turn down the opportunity to start something special with All Elite Wrestling. But apparently a major angle was the plan. It was pitched to all the members. They all turned it down. Now, most of them have four or five-year deals. I know Kenny Omega's 4 years. Cody and the Bucks are both five-year deals. Hangman Page is a four-year deal. Multiple-year deals for these guys, so they're not coming back anytime soon. And the Young Bucks this week actually made a statement that when they got into this All Elite Wrestling thing, this is pretty much it. They're in it for the long haul. They're planning on staying there permanently. And I hope the business works out for them. I would love to see them be successful at the level of WWE. I don't foresee All Elite Wrestling ever competing with WWE at that level, but as far as recognition of their career, I need to see the Young Bucks be mainstream accepted, and that is possible with All Elite Wrestling. They don't necessarily have to overtake WWE. They just need to be mainstream enough that people like Cody and the Bucks get the credit they deserve, and Kenny Omega get the credit they deserve for being as amazing and innovative as they are. This week, the big news broke that the headliner for the WWE Hall of Fame was going to be announced. It was D-Generation X. I thought it was very, almost horrible booking again by WWE to let Triple H just walk out and say it. The news broke on ESPN, but then Triple H comes out on Raw and just ran his mouth about it. What a horrible way to do it. I always looked forward to the little vignettes they do and announcing the next member of the Hall of Fame class, and then you see like the little video package. They did that later in the show, but that was how it should have been introduced, and now the word is they are still planning on doing the Hart Foundation, meaning Jim Neidhart, Bret Hart, and Jimmy Hart. Nobody else. Those people will go coming separately, I'm sure, at some point. And then the other rumor is the Honky Tonk Man is essentially a lock, and they're talking about Taz. With Taz, I find strange, because only about a year ago, he was saying how he didn't really need that, that it wouldn't mean that much to him because, you know, there's not a physical Hall of Fame and things of that nature. But I think Taz deserves it, and if he would accept induction, great. I did see Shane Douglas was posting comments this week about the Hall of Fame. He has a problem with it. He has an issue with the fact that WWE hasn't inducted some of, like, the legends out there, the Ivan Koloffs of the world and things of that nature. And he said he can't see a scenario where he would ever accept induction. That's his choice. I think that's kind of short-sighted. I understand they should be looking at a physical venue at some point. It's absolutely ludicrous that a company worth as much money as WWE hasn't put together a legitimate Hall of Fame, a location you can go to. I mean, let's face it, football fans know you go to Canton and you go see the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's just what you do. You know, baseball has a Hall of Fame. Hockey has all, you know, they all have a Hall of Fame you can actually go to. WWE needs that. They need an actual physical location where you can go and see memorabilia, nostalgic items. You know, the one episode of Raw, the Raw 25th episode, was awesome because they had all this, like, props from the last 25 years of Raw. That means they still store this stuff. That means they could easily put together a Hall of Fame, and it would be something very special. Wrestling fans from around the world would come to see that. I hope they get into that. Daniel Bryan, apparently the fast lane plan is for him to face Kofi Kingston and defeat Kofi Kingston and then go on to WrestleMania where he'll face a returning superstar. I find it interesting. Bully Ray was actually reacting to the Elimination Chamber match with Kofi, saying how he would have put Kofi over, and really at Fastlane they should be putting Kofi over. He's earned it. 11 years, that little line in his match on SmackDown is legit. He has been there for forever, and ever since he had the angle with Randy Orton on Raw years ago, he's never had as much momentum as he has right now. You can't convince me the fans wouldn't be thoroughly impressed with Kofi Kingston walking out of Fastlane as the WWE champion. Unfortunately, it sounds like Vince is absolutely hell-bent on keeping that championship around Daniel Bryan's waist and having him face a returning superstar. Now, the question is, who is the returning superstar? And there's all these possibilities out there. Again, if you look at the article on Infro's Corner, you'll see who I think it should be. But the rumors are saying it could be Bray Wyatt coming in to challenge him. It could be somebody like Batista challenging Daniel Bryan. And other people are theorizing that's where Kevin Owens will come back into the picture. If you read my article, you'll see that I have a completely different direction to go, and I think my way would work very well. Check out the article, find out who I'm talking about. But that sounds like the plan. Daniel Bryan's going to retain at Fastlane and then defend at Mania. I don't know if he wins at Mania. I think he should win at Mania, no matter who he goes against. But that's kind of sad for Kofi Kingston, because the other tidbit of news related to Fastlane is that this is all supposed to be leading up to a split of the New Day. Now, you remember about a year ago, the news reports were out that WWE wanted to make the New Day like the greatest tag team in the history of wrestling and have them break the most tag team championship record and all that kind of stuff. And then it just kind of soured. It just went away. Yes, they're always at the top of the tag team rankings, but they're not champions right now. They're not really in the title picture right now. And they're talking about breaking them up now. And I think that's incredibly short-sighted. I would much rather see something like, you know, Kofi Kingston wins the WWE Championship and Big E and Xavier Woods win the Tag Team Championship and the three of them go heel again and protect each other's championships, much in the way the Horsemen used to back in NWA days. I think that would be perfect. You create three new heels that are like that unique heel that people love them, but they have to hate them because they're the bad guys, but they want to love them because they're the good guys. They're always going to remember the Booty-O's and the, you know, the pancakes, but, you know, now they're doing the gruff stuff. It's like Daniel Bryan right now. People love Daniel Bryan even though he's the bad guy. You know, that's an interesting position to be in as a heel. I think that would make a lot more sense, but it sounds like that's not what they're going to do. The other match we're talking about for WrestleMania, we may finally get to see this dream match. Sasha Banks and Bayley apparently wanting to work with Lita and Trish at Mania. The issue is, I don't think anybody would buy that Lita and Trish could win the match. And too many of WWE's storylines lately have been way too predictable. Let's face it, Sasha Banks and Bayley are on TV every week. You know, Lita and Trish are on TV once every year, 2 years, 3 years. How can you possibly put the Women's Tag Team Championship around their waist? You can't. Now, the other thing, and again, check out my article, Infro's Corner. there are other booking options and some that are much better. There's talk about the Bellas possibly challenging them. I'm okay with that as well. I think that makes some sense. But you've got women who've been wrestling all year who deserve that spotlight more than the Bellas, who haven't been in a match in months, you know, since Evolution. And that's sad. You know, they're supposed, you give the main event of Evolution to one of them and then they just disappear. You know, what kind of booking is that? That's horrible. That kind of degrades the original Women's Evolution pay-per-view. So for me, I don't know that I would give them that spotlight again. But if you're going to, I think it should be a multi-team match and make sure Trish and Lita are involved. You just can't give them the titles. They're talking about a retirement match for WWE Superstar at WrestleMania. That would be Kurt Angle. They're talking about whatever match he gets at Mania being his last match, him retiring at the end of the show. I think that is a great idea. Don't get me wrong. I've said it in the past. He could still go in the ring. He still has all the tools and the talent to do whatever they ask him to do. For whatever reason, they've booked him to look so weak, and they've made him look old, even though, you know, he still has all the tools. And I would really love for him to just get one more match at WrestleMania that really, really matters. And who do you put him against? Again, if you read my article, you'll see exactly who I would put him against. But that's the word, is that whatever match he has at Mania this year is going to be his retirement match. And if it is, you know, put him out on a high note. Have him, if he's got to lose, have him lose to somebody he can really help establish, really give a rub to. And then, you know, give him that moment, the opportunity to bask in the glory, kind of like Ric Flair did years ago when he retired, you know, where he just gets that ovation, you know, because Kurt Angle has given so much to the wrestling world, whether it was the amateur career or the pro career, WWE, TNA, or even dalliances overseas, New Japan and other organizations. He's done so much for the wrestling industry, and it would really be nice to see him get a really great retirement match if that's really what they're going to do. And then Impact Wrestling. Hall of Famer returning to the ring for an absolute dream match. Many people know that Impact Wrestling, they record their episodes so far in advance, it's almost ridiculous. And the episodes now, we've seen that Gail Kim is coming out of retirement to face Tessa Blanchard. What an incredible dream match. If you are a fan of the Women's Evolution in WWE, and if you like Becky Lynch, and you like Charlotte Flair, and you like the Ronda Rousey, and you like all those things, let's be honest, all of that started not with Paige and AJ Lee, like they like to say sometimes, though I will credit them with being a huge influence on the Women's Revolution, but nothing has ever been better than watching Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong in TNA for the Knockouts Championship, main eventing an episode of Impact Wrestling long before WWE ever did, and they tore the house down. Gail Kim is one of the most underrated, amazing female performers in the history of the business, and for her to come back for a dream match against what I consider to be one of the best talents in the world in the women's division, Tessa Blanchard, I find that to be one of the biggest dream matches Impact could possibly put on. I really hope at some point Tessa Blanchard finds her way to WWE and joins up with the Horsewoman. But if she doesn't, this is the kind of match that's like career defining. When you go against Gail Kim, who really can bring out the best in anybody she works with, I can't wait to see the match. I think it's going to be an absolute knockdown, drag-out, killer opportunity. And hopefully it won't be the last time we see her in the ring, because she is so talented. And, you know, any female talents out there can really learn a ton by watching Gail Kim's matches. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next time. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazel Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazel Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us today. If you want more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their articles on the world of professional wrestling, or check out my blog, In Fro's Corner, on frowrestling.com for my latest editorial pieces. Until next time, take care, everybody, and have a great night. We'll be right back.